Community business and organization leaders often ask this question: how do I get diversity in my group? Well, according to our next guest, the work is real, but it's a minefield out there. And even progressive leaders can still, perhaps unknowingly, be racist and uphold oppressive systems. In the new book, The Token, Common Sense Ideas for Increasing Diversity in Your Organization, community organizer Crystal Bird Farmer acts as a bridge between majority white organizations that are dedicated to social justice and diverse people in community that they want to recruit across identities of race, LGBTQ, education, socioeconomic status, and disability. Again, the name of the book is The Token, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Crystal Bird Farmer to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
It's a great pleasure to have you on the program. How did you get started in this particular line of work?
Well, I was just interested in the intentional communities movement, which includes co-housing, communes, different types of residential living, and I noticed that I was one of the only black people involved, and so I was interested in how to get more people involved in the movement.
The question is, as I read in the introduction, how do I get diversity in my group? And there are people who are asking that question, and the not to defend, but their heart is in the right place, right? So you're just trying to help them bridge to so that they do it right and don't screw it up.
Yeah, people have the best intentions, and there are ways that you can do it that's helpful to people, but there are also ways you can do it that harm people.
Give us an example of how it can be harmful.
Well, there are ways if you're a minority, an ethnic minority, like I'm a black woman, and you don't know a lot about black hair or about black culture, if I come to a meeting and suddenly people are interested in my hair and want to talk about my hair, instead of me being at the meeting as a community member, now I'm somebody who, you know, they is answering questions about my identity, and that's not comfortable for me to be there.
Right. So how do you make that point? How do you point that out? And I guess my question is twofold in the sense of how do you point that out to prevent it from happening in the first place, but in the short term, how you point it out as you're sitting there in that meeting?
Yeah, so I think a lot of marginalized people in the minority, deal with that dilemma every day. Like, how do I mention it without people getting defensive or people getting upset? In the book, I use the example of people touching my hair. And if I say it in the moment, please don't do that, that's harmful, people will say, well, I'm just interested, I just want to know. So it takes a lot of work for me to point it out and then to defend myself when I'm trying to explain. So it's much more helpful for people to think about identity and to understand that different people have different experiences, and that those experiences may mean that they're more sensitive to issues like having their hair touched or having their name mispronounced, being misgendered, things like that.
You do talk about in the book about doing the work. And so how do you have that conversation, the really deep and I assume what can be a difficult conversation with those around you about the reality of everything from a microaggression to privilege to bias?
Yeah, so in the book I lay out some discussion questions and ways that you can take this to your community and talk about it, because you do have to sit down and kind of think through it and then discuss it with people, because a lot of people haven't thought deeply about their identities. They haven't thought about ways that they have privilege or that they have privilege at all. And so it's important to think about that and then understand, okay, just because I have privilege, for example, doesn't mean that my life is completely smooth sailing. It just means that some parts of my life are easier than other people who have similar experiences.
When you have those conversations, how do you not make it an edict, and how do you keep it as just that, a conversation?
Yeah, for me, I try and keep it at a personal relationship level, whereas I care about you as a person. I want to be your friend. I want to work with you. I understand that you're human and that you have really good intentions. And I'm telling you this as a friend, as someone who wants to stay in connection, that this is harmful, that this is something that I don't want you to do to other people. And so I think that's really important to relate as humans instead of saying, well, you're wrong because you don't recognize privilege or whatever.
When you when you come to this point of having these discussions, I guess my question is, at what point do you have it? I mean, it's early on, but it's also something that has to be reinforced constantly, right? I mean, it's something that you have to remind people about all of the time, and our norms shift, so the way we handle the situation shifts.
Yeah, there's kind of a scale of being aware of these things. So, you know, you can mention it, like the easiest example or way that you can kind of bring it up in conversation is if something, somebody says something that's racist or sexist or homophobic, you can say, ouch. You know, you can say, did you really mean to say it that way? And that's kind of a way that doesn't challenge them, but it gives them some pause and helps them to think about it. And then, you know, as you move along the scale, you can say, hey, you know, I heard what you said, and I don't think that's a good way to say it. I don't think that's a good opinion. I think, you know, you want to be more sensitive to people's needs. And then you can get into more deeper discussions. But there's a whole range of ways that you can respond to people that doesn't turn into a full-blown argument.
I was curious in the book, Crystal, that you talk about when is the time. There's a lot of this we can take care of and within an organization, and we can work on, and we can have these discussions. But you also talk about the point where maybe you have to bring in some outside help.
Mm-hmm.
Bring us through that a little bit of the way to do that, and even more importantly, when you do that. When's the time to do that?
Yeah, so I recommend that if you're a majority white organization or you don't have a lot of people with disabilities, or, you know, you're mostly straight heterosexual people, that you don't depend on those people who have a different identity to educate you. You don't turn to the black people in the room or the gay people in the room and say, please educate us. You turn to professionals, to people who have devoted their time and their energy to educating people about this. And that just takes the work off of those people who are marginalized in your community. And the best time to do it is when you are thinking through these things, and as a leadership team, you're interested in implementing this, because it's not something that, you know, your leaders can just say, hey, this is a new policy, no racism, no sexism, and then just, like, enforce it on people. You really have to take everybody through those conversations. And if you anticipate that you're going to have a lot of conflict, a lot of questioning, then you want to bring in somebody who can explain it, who can be kind of a neutral party and can help people understand.
And as you mentioned, the importance of recruiting support within the organization is important, too. To realize who the allies are, and those, I assume, who are doing it right and can help you in the overall goal of trying to make things better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's going to be people who get it right away and who are willing to do it, but they're going to have to be the ones who reach out to other people and kind of bring them along the journey.
All of this is big, right? I mean, it's hard. And you also talk about, which I found this fascinating, because, you know, we make friendships and relationships, we have relationships with the people that we work with, and sometimes just by the nature of what it is that we do, we accept the people warts and all, and just say, okay, well, at 5 o'clock I won't have to deal with them anymore. But there has to be more to it than that, right? I mean, if we are going to, there can be lessons within the everyday momentary conversations that we have with people when they are doing something that is sullying the waters for the overall organization.
Yeah, it's important to look at your networks and really get a true sense of who you interact with on a day-to-day basis. And if you can only identify a few people of color, a few people who are LGBTQ, or, you know, if you're interacting mostly with people who look like you, then your experience is really going to be limited, and you're not understanding or seeing the depth of human experience and the ways that people live in the world.
So I guess there is some good news in the fact that the question is being asked of how do we get diversity in the group. So there should be some comfort there, I guess.
Yeah, no, I think it's good that people are asking the questions. And so that's why I wanted to write the book, so that people can at least get a quick understanding of what's all involved once they ask that question.
But even the most progressive, the most liberal person, the white liberal elite can screw this up.
Yes.
Yeah. And again, not meaning to, but just not knowing better and not knowing the privilege and power that they have.
Yeah, there's a way that people who think of themselves as progressive, as liberal and ultra-modern, have blind spots. And usually that blind spot comes around race because they just haven't interacted with a lot of different people of different ethnicities. And even if they are interacting with people, you know, if they were at college or, you know, in their community, they may be people who have the same middle class status that they have. And so they're not understanding the view of people of color who, you know, have lower income or who don't live in wealthy places. So.
Well, the book is fascinating and it's you're doing such good work here. The book is The Token, Common Sense Ideas for Increasing Diversity in Your Organization. Crystal Bird Farmer is the author. Crystal, thank you very much for sharing with us this morning. It's a great pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Again, the name of the new book is The Token, Common Sense Ideas for Increasing Diversity in Your Organization by Crystal Bird Farmer. We'll continue with the roundtable and a whole other hour coming up next on WAMC.